When you sit down to brew a new deck, you can't forget to add your vegetables, card draw, answers, and ramp. And no color does ramp quite the same way that green does. At this point, there are so many staple effects in green that get you ahead on mana, it can be difficult to know when to choose which ones. Is this the deck that wants Rampant Growth, Farseek, or Kadama's Reach? When should I run Dorks, and when should I run Wild Growth? What are the gold standards for ramp in the color of green? Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we're going to be talking about the color of green and the state of ramp. Green, over time, has changed how it approaches ramp. Today, we're going to try to break down exactly what you can expect as you go up in mana value in the color of green when it comes to ramp, what the pros and cons are of each choice, and which cards are the best for your green inclusive deck. We've talked about ramp versus fixing in previous episodes, and essentially it boils down to fixing giving you access to more particular types of mana, while ramp provides you with more mana on a particular turn than you should normally have access to, according to the rules of magic as Richard Garfield intended. A good example is the difference between Prophetic Prism and Mindstone, and an example I've used before. Both cost 2 generic mana. Mindstone can tap for itself to give you a colorless mana. It ramps you without fixing you. While Prophetic Prism can fix any one generic mana into any one color of mana you need, it fixes you without actually getting you ahead on ramp. Some cards will both fix you and ramp you, getting you ahead on mana while also providing you with more particular types of mana. Ramp and fixing are both strengths of green, and while a great deal of green ramp only provides you with more green mana, there are still plenty of cards which both ramp you and get you ahead in terms of your fixing. In general, the more colors you have in your deck, the more fixing you'll want your green ramp spells to provide. Also, note that I am not including cards which only put lands into your hand. They can be great inclusions in a deck that is trying to play multiple land drops per turn, but they are not pure ramp spells. Without additional effects, they are not getting you ahead on mana. Another thing to take note of is that many of the cards that we're going to talk about are going to specifically reference particular land types. Remember, some non-basic lands do have basic land types on them, such as Shocklands, the original Dual Lands, and even the Triome Cycle from Ikoria. These can be very helpful because a lot of green ramp spells are going to look for forest cards, and if you happen to have a card that is both a forest and an island, well, that green ramp spell got you your forest, which can also tap for a blue mana. So keep this in mind as you're choosing your ramp. Now, let's start going by the numbers. When I say a 1-mana green ramp spell, the first thing that often comes to mind are going to be your green mana dorks, your Llanowar Elves, your Elvish Mystics, your Findhorn Elves. These 1-green mana 1-1 elves will tap to produce a single green mana. These are a great way to ramp you ahead, but note that they don't provide great fixing, as they only provide green mana. You put green mana into casting the spell, and the resulting creature is going to give you green mana back afterwards. Jiraga Treespeaker is a very strange example, which is definitely more at home in a low-color green deck. This 1-mana mana dork is not going to produce any mana until you've already invested 1 in a green to level it up, at which point it then will tap for green-green. Leveling it up to level 1 is basically free, but you're then down to just getting green-green, which can put you behind on your fixing if you're counting on having additional colors to then use on that turn from one of your other lands or one of your other mana sources. I probably would not want to run Treespeaker in any 3-plus color decks unless I am very heavily in green in that particular deck, and I'm really taking pains to avoid greedy mana costs in other colors. We also see some great fixing at the 1-mana value slot from Birds of Paradise. Deathrite Shaman can also provide some good fixing if you have access to black, but it's only really going to shine when you are playing in a group where lots of fetch lands will be going to the graveyard. Outside of that, if you're in Selesnya, you have access to Avacyn's Pilgrim, which, while not an elf, it does tap for a white mana off of the green that you put into it. Elves of Deep Shadow, on the other hand, in Golgari, is going to provide us black mana off of our green mana investment. It's in that more relevant creature type of elf, with the downside that it will deal 1 damage to us each time we try to tap it for mana. Expanding the color pie further, if you're in Bant, green, white, blue, Noble Hierarch is going to be able to tap for any of those colors for a single green mana, again on a less relevant creature type, but adding in the possibility of getting the Exalted trigger on attacks. Recently in Modern Horizons 2, we also saw in Jund we get Ignoble Hierarch. Goblin is probably a slightly more relevant creature type overall, and again, it'll tap for green, red, or black, whichever one we need, while still providing us that exalted trigger if we happen to be swinging in with a single creature. When you have access to forests which produce more than one color of mana, like those shocklands or dual lands I mentioned a little while ago, Arbor Elf is a form of fixing, as it can then untap one of your dual lands and then use that again for a different color of mana potentially. A great source of fixing on a very available creature. Gilded Goose is a very odd example, which I actually think is a lot closer to a treasure token than a real mana dork, unless you have a way to make lots of reliable food tokens. I do think that over time, stock in this card is going to go up if we see more food token producing cards in the future that are just good, like Tireless Provisioner and Academy Manufacturer entering the card pool. But unless food tokens are a sub-theme of your deck, I would personally avoid the Goose overall. Now, at one mana value, there are also some strong options for ramp from enchantments, too. Wild Growth is an aura which can be cast on any land to get you an additional green mana anytime you tap it. Very similar to one of the traditional mana dorks, this does not fix you, but it will ramp you. Utopia Sprawl, on the other hand, can be cast on any forest, and then give you access to any other one color that you need when you tap that forest for mana. This one both ramps and fixes. Carpet of Flowers is a very unique effect, and it really does need its own discussion. If you're not going first, this is the only one mana value green ramp spell which actually provides you ramp on the turn that you cast it. So long as one or more opponents have at least one island in play, it's going to give you mana back the same turn that you cast it, provided you remember to cast it in your pre-combat main phase, and it provides fixing. But the effectiveness of Carpet of Flowers goes down as the relative value of opposing mana bases goes down as well. Non-basic lands with basic land types like shocklands, dual lands, are less common at lower powered tables. So there's often an uncanny valley at casual tables where you don't always expect to see a blue player at the table, and the decks which do include blue aren't always running enough duels or shocks to up the count of islands which will fuel Carpet of Flowers. We should also start to explore some of the cards which enable additional land drops each turn. Burgeoning and Exploration can both be cast for a single green mana. Overall, between the two, Exploration is stronger as a standalone card, granting you a single extra land drop each turn without needing any additional actions from your opponents. This effect combines best when paired with a way to draw lots of cards, making it a strong inclusion in Simic inclusive decks where you can reasonably expect to draw into extra lands on a regular basis. Burgeoning needs even more draw to be used to its fullest, and you can literally get nothing out of it once your opponents have played out their early land ramp. But Burgeoning is a really strong payoff in group hug type decks, which are providing lots of draw to opponents, allowing you to ramp ahead of what they're trying to do. There are also some one mana value land ramp spells, which can help with fixing. Crop Rotation and Elvish Reclaimer are only going to get you ahead on mana if you're going to use them to tutor up big mana lands like Gaia's Cradle or the combination of Urborg and Cabal Coffers. Outside of these payoffs, you're usually going to use these cards to fix your mana by trading a land that produces one type of mana for one that produces other types of mana you are more in need of. So to summarize one mana value ramp, most is going to be pure ramp, and most of the choices that are going to be good in low color green decks. If you're looking at a 3-plus color deck, you really need to take your fixing into account as well. Birds of Paradise is often your best choice, although I would add in if you're in Jund, look at Ignoble Hierarch. If you're in Bant, take a look at Noble Hierarch. And if you're playing at a table where there are lots of fetch lands going to the graveyard, yeah, Deathrite Shaman is still excellent. Exploration is generally going to be better than Burgeoning in most landfall decks, and if you have access to powerful lands like Cabal Coffers or Gaia's Cradle, both Crop Rotation and Elvish Reclaimer get much stronger. Two mana value is where a lot of ramp is focused in this day and age. Non-green decks are often going to be stacking this slot with cards like Arcane Signet, Fellwar Stone, the Talismans, and the Ravnica Guild Signets. And these are often still worth considering. But in this episode in particular, we are focusing on the strength of green cards, not necessarily the artifact ramp, which is not unique to green. Let's start with land-based ramp this time, as this is really where land-based ramp really comes into its own for green. The namer of the entire concept, Rampant Growth, is the poster child for this mana value. But Rampant Growth is generally eclipsed by a few other options which allow the lands to come into play untapped, or can also fix for you. Nature's Lore, and 3 Visits both get you a forest into play, untapped, for 1 and a green. Not a basic forest, a forest. So if you are running typed non-basic lands, like your Shock lands, your Dual lands, or your Ikoria Triomes, you're probably going to want to run either or both of Nature's Lore and 3 Visits over Rampant Growth. Sakura Tribe Elder fits into this category as well, and it's at its best when you can reuse the little 1-1 snake over and over again from a graveyard-based deck like Moldrotha or Merrin, but at its baseline, it's still a Rampant Growth, which gives you a blocker for a turn and puts a basic land into play tapped for you. If you're leaning into Recursion in black, I would almost always include Sakura Tribe Elder over Farseek for the potential value engine it represents. At the 2-mana value, there are still some powerful mana dorks that we should talk about, although there are fewer of them than at the 1-mana slot, and they are more specific to a particular deck than being simple auto-includes for any deck that is looking for dorks. Just like the 1-mana value dorks, we're looking for cards which we expect, with minimal effort, to get us at least 2 mana out of them when we use them the turn after we play them, when they are no longer summoning sick. The big two in my mind are Priest of Titania and Bloom Tender. Priest of Titania is 1 and a green for a 1-1 green elf druid, which says tap, add green to your mana pool for each elf in play. Not just yours, your opponents are counted as well. It's going to be at its best in a deck which is already leaning heavily on mana dorks who also happen to be elves, as it can produce buckets of mana with very little work. Bloom Tender is 1 and a green for a 1-1 elf druid, which reads tap, for each color among permanents you control, add 1 mana of that color to your mana pool. Bloom Tender slots in best to decks which are at least 3+ colors, where you can reasonably expect on turn 3 to be able to tap Bloom Tender for those 2 mana. It already spots you 1 since it counts itself as a green permanent, but ideally you want to be able to tap for 2, so controlling another permanent which is a different color than green. Particularly if your commander is going to bring extra colors onto the battlefield on turn 3, Bloom Tender can be a great source of mana. The number 3 slot here is a really interesting debate between 2 different mana dorks that both care about +1/+1 counters. The older of the two is Gyre Sage, a 1-2 green elf druid, which allows you to tap for 1 green mana for each +1/+1 counter on it, and it has Evolve. So if a creature with a greater power or toughness enters the battlefield under your control, you can put a +1/+1 counter onto Gyre Sage. If you can reasonably expect to drop a turn 3 creature with at least a power of 2 or greater, and or a toughness of 3 or greater, and then have consistent ways to drop 3 or 4 toughness creatures on subsequent turns, Gyre Sage will likely be tapping for 3+ mana very consistently. If you are more focused on playing smaller, dorkier creatures, however, Gyre Sage likely should not find its way into your deck. There's definitely an argument to be made for the newer Incubation Druid in this slot as well. It is 1 and a green for a 0-2 elf druid, which taps for a single mana of any color that lands you control could produce, or if it has a +1/+1 counter on it, it will tap for 3 of that color of mana instead. It also has the ability to adapt for 3 green-green, allowing you to put 3+1/+1 counters on it. Incubation Druid definitely has a better floor than Gyre Sage, but requires more of an investment of mana in order to make sure it really shines. But I think that Incubation Druid is easier to turn on in a +1/+1 counters deck, and it provides better fixing. As long as we're talking about 2-mana value dorks who are going to go into niche decks, we should also mention Sanctum Weaver, 1 and a green for an enchantment creature which is going to tap for 1 mana of any color for each enchantment you control. If you are in any kind of an enchantress deck, this is likely going to be your best choice at the 2-mana value ramp slot. Another special note should go to Lotus Cobra, a 1 and green for a 2-1 creature snake, and with Landfall, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Obviously, Lotus Cobra is going to shine in a Landfall deck, but if you have ways to use that extra 1 mana or 2 mana per turn that you can expect to get in a regular deck, well, Lotus Cobra can still provide you a consistent source of value. Let's move on to enchantments next. Both Cryptolith Rite and Song of Frailes allow us to tap our creatures for mana, both ramping and fixing us. Cryptolith Rite will stick around forever, but Song does eventually buff our ground forces to let them swing in. These two enchantments are also better top decks in the late game when you already have a board built up with multiple creatures who you can tap right away. If you're allergic to money, you can also use that money to go buy Earthcraft, the wording of which allows you to ignore summoning sickness on your creatures. While it will only let you tap a basic land, it does provide the option of creating infinite tapped 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens. Outside of these, I think the only aura that I look at for a ramp at the 2-mana value is Fertile Ground, which provides unconditional fixing and can be attached to any land you control, not just a forest, allowing that land to then tap for 1 additional mana of any color. And in low-color green decks, we also have another unique option in Gaia's Touch, which allows us to play an additional basic forest each turn. Looking over our options for 2-mana value ramp, if you are already on a Dork-based strategy, particularly an Elf-based strategy, Priest of Titania is probably your strongest choice for pure ramp, but Bloom Tender provides your best fixing and is agnostic of your choice of other Dorks. You also get some great options for purely land-based ramp spells at this mana value, with Nature's Lore and Three Visits both being the top choices. These ramp spells get even better when you have typed non-basics like the Shocklands, the Dual Lands, and the Triomes. And graveyard-based decks should probably take a look at Sokra Tribe Elder before Rampant Growth. We're going to move on to the 3-mana value spells next, but we have to make a quick note as higher power games and more color-intensive decks are likely going to be playing artifact-based ramp as opposed to looking at the more traditional green-based ramp at 3-mana value or higher. As we noted in our episode on choosing the right ramp, if you're tapping out on turn 3 to ramp, and your opponents have a critical turn on 3.5 to 4.5, you might be in dire straits when they start going for it while you're still getting ready. But we're going to keep going up the mana values because there is still absolutely a home for these decks in slower metagames with higher critical turns. Let's start again with land ramp, and the two spells at the 3-mana value slot which need to be discussed first are Cultivate and Kadama's Reach. These are our usual go-to spells which people think about at the 3-mana value slot in green for a good reason. Both of them are 2 in a green to search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, put one into the battlefield tapped, and the other one goes into your hand. They both essentially draw you a card and get you a basic land into play tapped. Unlike Nature's Lore and 3 Visits, though, you cannot get a typed non-basic land. It is basic lands only. But they can get you 2 different basic lands, providing a form of fixing that you may need if you're currently stuck on other colors of mana. The reason these two cards are so useful is that if you play them without having made your land drop for the turn, you have the ability to get a land into play tapped and then play the land which you just got out of your library, going up 2 mana for a single 3-mana value spell. Another 3-mana value ramp card which is often criminally underlooked is Harrow. For the same mana cost, at instant speed, Harrow might not be able to get the cards into your hand, but it does let you sacrifice a land to get 2 other basic lands into play, untapped. That means it is both fixing and ramp, and gives you access to those 2 mana immediately. After looking at Cultivate, Kadama's Reach, and Harrow, we also have a number of other cards which are going to tutor up a land from our library into play, but I think the best one which we need to discuss next is going to be Search for Tomorrow. 2 in a green to get a basic land from our library into play untapped. Now, the reason why this one is worth looking at is that it does give us the option to suspend it for a single green mana, and then 2 turns later we get the land that we put on layaway. It is really nice because it means if you draw it late game, you can get your landfall immediately, but it has the upside of letting you suspend it early and use your mana more efficiently if that is going to be your turn one play. This is also where we start to see creatures who have good ETB abilities to get us lands. Wood Elves is probably the gold standard here, able to grab any forest, again, not just a basic forest, to both ramp us and fix us with the land coming into play untapped. This 1-1 creature for 2 and a green is also an elf, so it plays into the tribal synergies we've already seen with green ramp, and it has some nice tricks in green-black decks where you can get it back into play from the graveyard, or in blink decks where you can just start blinking it over and over again to continue to get its ability, as remember, this one triggers on ETB, not on sacrifice like Sokra Tribe Elder. In a similar vein, Spring Bloom Druid will ramp us like Harrow and leave us with 2 basic lands, although unlike Harrow, it will be coming into play tapped instead of untapped. Still, if we're looking to get lands out of our graveyard eventually, Spring Bloom Druid will ramp us quite well. Now, where the 3-mana value slot gets really spicy is with Landfall. This is where extra land drop effects really come into their own. We get Azusa, Lost But Seeking. We get Wayward Swordtooth. We get Dryad of the Elysian Grove, and we get the level 2 ability on Druid class. Azusa and Swordtooth require the least investment and should probably get the first consideration in the slot, but don't forget about Druid class. You can play it early and then invest in it later to get your additional land drops, or if you find that you're just not getting enough lands in hand, you do not need to pay that premium until you're ready to do so. One thing to remember is that while extra land drop effects might stack, the value of each subsequent effect goes down, as you are consecutively less likely to have another land card in hand for you to play. Finally for this section, Tireless Provisioner is basically a 3-mana value Lotus Cobra, as its landfall ability will produce both a food token and a treasure token anytime a land enters the battlefield under your control. This is particularly useful since that treasure token, unlike the mana from Lotus Cobra, will stick around even if you can't use the mana immediately. Moving on from landfall, at 3 mana value, our dorks who tap for mana are going to have to start to have some pretty hefty requirements, since we are often expecting them to be able to then tap for at least 3 mana when we're ready to use them on turn 4. So we usually want to make sure we can get that full 3 mana investment back out of our dorks the first chance we get, because once we're hitting 4 mana, that's when a lot of wraths start to come online. They often need to be built around, much more so than the 1 mana value dorks, or even the 2 mana value dorks. For example, Elvish Archdruid is amazing at 1 green-green for an Elf Druid. Not only does it give all of our elves +1/+1, but it also taps for 1 green mana for each elf we control. Somberwald Sage is another option which really just wants to be put into a creature-heavy deck. It is 2 and a green, a much less restrictive mana cost to tap for 3 mana of any color, with no other setup required. The newly printed Circle of Dreams Druid is probably stronger than Somberwald Sage overall, but having a more restrictive casting cost of green, green, green means it can be more difficult to take advantage of in decks which are not heavily invested in green. Rishkar, Pima Renegade, is a card that I think is fairly underplayed overall, as it can immediately convert any two creatures which you already have in play into mana dorks who then tap for green mana. You really only need one other creature in play, as it can then invest its +1/+1 counter into itself and that creature, and create 2 mana dorks for the cost of 1 card. It is particularly good in a +1/+1 counters deck, where you expect to have lots of creatures with +1/+1 counters on them, who can provide mana immediately. Silvala, Explorer Returned, will truly shine when you're on a big creatures plan, and can consistently tap her for lots of mana, while also consistently being the one to draw cards from your big beasties entering the battlefield. Shaman of Forgotten Ways has a similar cost to Somberwild Sage, but is generally less good as it only taps for 2 mana instead of 3. That restriction is a little bit weaker since it still has to be spent on creatures. The Biorhythm-esque win condition bolted onto it is kind of a nice trade-off though. And if you're in at least Selesnya, so green and white, you can also get a Bloom Tender with worse creature types, but who spots you a second mana with no extra work in Feyburrow Elder. Feyburrow Elder is going to be a green and white creature, which means you can tap it immediately for green and white when it's no longer summoning sick. It also has vigilance, and it grows equal to the number of different colors among permanents you control. When we start looking at enchantments, group hug type decks are going to like cards like Rites of Flourishing, which we may be able to break parity on more easily being in green, but I think Overgrowth is probably the card to look at here if you're looking for enchantments, allowing the land you enchant for 2 and a green to tap for an additional green-green. This means it's probably going to be stronger in more green-heavy decks, but it also potentially allows a deck to enchant a land which it taps for maybe blue or black to also produce green-green whenever you tap it. It's also a good inclusion in Enchantress decks, but I really tend not to run it outside of Enchantress without a really good reason. In my mind, the power of pure land ramp in instants and sorceries kind of crests around the 2-3 mana value slot. If you are on a landfall strategy, you probably still want to be including extra landfall effects like Kadama's Reach, Cultivate, and Harrow to provide you multiple extra land drops for the cost of a single card. Dorks are starting to be less good at this point and much more build around, so you really only want to choose the ones that are going to give you plenty of mana back for the risky investment of a fragile creature. Moving on to 4 mana value, by the time we're casting 4 mana value ramp spells, we're most likely all set up and we're trying to fuel mana for our main game plan. big mana decks are often looking at the 4-mana value ramp spells, but a lot of other decks have probably already moved on from ramping to their main game plan at this point, so not all decks are going to be looking here. Sky Shroud Claim is the premier land ramp spell at this mana value, getting us two forests into play untapped. Basically, a Nature's Lore and a three visits stapled together. They can be non-basic forests, just like the cards we mentioned above, and they come into play untapped, just like Harrow. After Sky Shroud Claim, our other options start to fall off pretty significantly, unless you're really just interested in getting as many landfall triggers as possible. Ranger's Path gets us two forests. Again, not basic forests, but unfortunately they enter the battlefield tapped. I would personally rank Migration Path above either Explosive Vegetation or Circuitous Route, as it does give you the option for 4 mana to get 2 basics into play tapped, but you also have the option to cycle that one for 2 generic mana, giving you another out if you just need to get more card draw and land ramp is not what you're looking for. An all-star in the graveyard-based ramp decks is Splendid Reclamation, which gets all of our lands onto the battlefield from the graveyard tapped. This can be an amazing finisher in any landfall deck, particularly those that have a strong graveyard bent, like in Jund. Scapeshift can occasionally be a form of ramp, again, if you happen to have those big mana lands in your library, but I tend to put it in the same area that I do crop rotation. Unless you build around it, you are likely not going to be ramping ahead with it. Now, on the other hand, if you scapeshift and then combine it with Splendid Reclamation, well, that can get you really far ahead. But at that point, you're looking at more of an endgame plan than just ramping ahead to be ready for the middle game. At the 4-mana value slot for Landfall, we have one of the premier headliner Landfall creatures, Oracle of Moldiah. This card is virtual card draw for lands into play, and it's an extra land drop every turn. Oracle plays best when combined with plenty of card draw, just like the other land drop cards, but even more so since you can use that card draw to get another go at looking at the top card of your library to see if it happens to be a land to put into play from the top. And even if the top card of your library isn't a land, remember, Oracle will still let you put additional lands into play from your hand. Also at the 4-mana value slot, if you happen to be in Gruul, you can look at Mina and Den Wildborn for an additional landfall trigger. If you're in Teemer, there's also the option to play Song of Creation, which also acts as a form of card draw. Let's get into our 4-mana value dorks next, and at this point, they need to tap for lots and lots of mana, since we're basically hoping to use them to tap for what is basically our win-the-game levels of mana. The best option we have in mono-green is probably Karametra's Acolyte, which taps equal to our devotion to green, though it doesn't fix. So her best home is usually going to be in a low-color or mono-green deck which wants big mana. Kaidel is a potential Simic commander, who's also a partner, who gives you more mana for each card you've already drawn, although it is colorless. Wirewood Channeler probably deserves a mention here as a big mana capstone to Elves decks, and personally, I think it is likely a bit stronger at the 4-mana value slot than the more recently printed Canopy Tactician, who, while he buffs your Elves with +1/+1, also only taps for a maximum of green, green, green. While Wirewood Channeler can potentially fix and provide mana equal to the number of Elves in play, much more like the Priest of Titania. At the 4-mana value slot, we also get some of our first one-sided mana doublers. Mana doublers are definitely the going-for-it type of mana ramp we've discussed before, where you're trying to get so far ahead on mana that you're really only bottlenecked on game actions at this point by cards in hand or mana sinks on board. Leyland of Abundance lets you tap all of your mana dorks for an additional green. You can then use it as a mana sink to put +1/+1 counters on your creatures. And in dork-based strategies, it can be a very good inclusion, particularly since sometimes it comes into play for free on turn zero. If we happen to be in a low-color green deck, Vernal Bloom is another enchantment which is very easy for us to break symmetry on, letting all of our forests tap for green-green. Although slightly harder to break symmetry on, Keeper of Progenitus potentially gives us extra mana off of our forests, our mountains, and our plains, and Wilderness Reclamation is a virtual mana doubler, which lets us tap out on our turn, and then still be able to untap so we can hold up interaction on our opponent's turns. In the modern Commander metagame, the 4-mana value ramp slot sits at an odd crossroads between cards we want for the getting ready stage of the game versus the explosive and game-winning ramp we want when we're going for it. In general, big mana decks and landfall decks probably still are on these cards, But decks that are just looking to grind out value without those big mana payoffs are almost definitely skipping cards from this point forward. Apart from the big landfall effects, we also have a few big mana dorks, and we more importantly have those mana doublers which are starting to come online, which are easy enough for us to break parity on, as we are more likely to be invested in green. Our final category are going to be the 5 mana value plus ramp spells, and almost universally, when you're talking about these cards, these are the cards you're going to be playing when you are already going for it. You're going to be trying to get so far ahead on mana that you are basically unbounded, as having 10 plus mana in most games is going to let you play out your hand the same way infinite mana could. Boundless Realms is probably the most well-known card in this category, which will get you a number of basics equal to the number of lands you control, which is a fine finisher for landfall decks. Hour of Promise costs 1 less mana and is only getting you 2 lands, but they can be any 2 lands. So it is a way to get that combo of Cabal Coffers and Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth for a big mana deck. From Strixhaven, we have Verdant Mastery. Verdant Mastery is only ever going to get 2 lands into play tapped for you, as it will allow you to search your library for up to 4 basic land cards, and then put 2 of them into play tapped. But it does have the option of reducing the cost to 3 and a green to search for those 4 lands, put 2 of them into play under your control, and then put 1 land into play under an opponent's control, still leaving you with that additional land in hand to make your landfall. This one may actually be stronger in most decks than Boundless Realms, as that reduced cost to get 2 lands into play tapped and then still have 1 in hand is potentially more upside than we would see from some of those other 4 mana value ramp spells which put the lands into play tapped. Outside of the pure land ramp, if we look at landfall, this is where we see both powerful commanders like Gitrog Monster and AC Tyrant of Gyre Straits, which give us an additional land drop each turn. Although, at the 5 and 6 mana value, it can be hard to have enough cards in hand to consistently make multiple land drops and take advantage of this effect. There also aren't really that many mana dorks to mention at or above 5 mana value, apart from maybe Jangatha the Wellspring, who can make an interesting companion in a 5 mana value deck. We do get a number of powerful effects to get ahead on mana, though, with cards like Mana Reflection at 6 mana, which give us an extra mana from any source that we tap, Regal Behemoth, a big 6-6 dinosaur, which in addition to giving us an extra mana from each of our lands when we tap them, will also make us the Monarch. Nissa, who shakes the world, is a Planeswalker at 5 mana, and her static ability allows our forest to tap for an additional green. In addition, her +1 loyalty ability allows us to untap one of those forests and take advantage of that green-green immediately. Ashaya, Soul of the Wild, has an effect similar to Cryptolith Rites, turning all of our creatures into forests in addition to everything else that they are, so they tap for a single green mana each. The original Vornklex from New Phyrexia will double our mana while putting our opponent's lands on ice for a turn when they tap them. And Zendikar Resurgent at 7 mana is one of our most expensive mana doublers, but it does include the upside of allowing us to draw every time we cast a creature spell. Nyx Bloom Ancient is a big honkin' boy. At 7 mana, he will give you 3 times the mana from any source that you tap. If we move into white, in addition to green, we also get access to Mirari's Wake, which is one of our most efficient mana doublers that we can see while also acting as an anthem. Nikia of the Old Ways is also available in Gruul, but it does limit us to only casting creature spells, which is an interesting deck-building restriction to build around. And finally, there's a reason why Lord Windgrace helms so many Jund landfall decks. Those decks are often the premier lands from the graveyard decks, as he can minus to put up to 2 lands from your graveyard into play untapped. So, overwhelmingly, when we get into the 5 mana value plus territory for ramp, green is giving us effects meant to catapult us into the end-the-game territory. We've got to be all set up by the time we cast these suckers. These are going to be the haymakers for our big mana or our landfall decks. But, honestly, most green-inclusive decks are not going to be looking to go this big. So you'll know which of your decks are wanting these types of effects. Whew! If you stuck around for all of that, thank you. It was sort of a marathon episode, but hopefully you feel more confident in picking out your ramp spells for your green decks. Even with that type of a long episode, we've still skipped a lot of green ramp spells, and we may have actually skipped some of your favorites. If we skipped some hidden gems that you really love in green, let us know. Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. Add us on Twitter, where we are at Gemstone Mine MTG, or send us an email, where we are gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.